So what are you, what's your plans for Thanksgiving?
Just driving up to see moms up in Wilmington. So hopefully not pass out naked in a bathtub this year.
I hope you do.
yeah, you're the only one.
Are you going back?
Going back where?
To
the escape. I don't even know if it's open, but if it's open, I'll go back to for at least one drink and honor Mark. So.
So you always go up on that Wednesday and stay?
Yeah, for sure. It's a fun drinking night. So I've got to be back in the hometown, see mom, and as long as she lives there, that's where I'll be.
Yeah, that's cool. Maybe get Louis out there.
Yeah. I don't know. Louis's got his own family, so I don't know what he's going to be doing. That's true. He might be out. He might not be. I don't know. He didn't come out last year, but I think he was somewhere else. So, but he's usually out at least at some point. What about you, man? Where are you heading?
I don't know. We do stuff with my family. I'm pretty sure Zoe's dad works on Thanksgiving. So, I don't know. Life of a first responder, you know? Like, holidays really just don't have the same. Like, I'm just not used to celebrating holidays on holidays. Usually it's like the day before or the day after, something weird.
Right.
Even since I was a kid, like Christmas, like my family has always done Christmas Eve because my dad works the Christmas Day, gets the double time. So, I don't know. It's always weird, especially like I just got out of the groove of Thanksgiving with like retail. It started with retail, and then like I've just never really, since then, I've never really gotten into like Wednesday night drinking before Thanksgiving, maybe since I was like 21.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, man. It's I don't know. It usually is a lot of fun. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the biggest bar night of the year. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome if, you know, you got a tradition to do. Like, I just wish I had a tradition. I'm a little jealous. That's why I'm always like, do it, go out, go to the escape, so I can live vicariously.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, welcome to our, I don't know, semi-annual Queen City podcast. We decided to do a special episode for Thanksgiving, so gobble gobble, let's get into it.
Gobble gobble, I love that. All right, yeah, let's do it. I think I'm even gonna try to like get some Thanksgiving-y intro. Do you have like a song that you think would be a good Thanksgiving intro?
Jesus Christ, is there Thanksgiving music? Hold on.
Is
hold
there on. I don't know.
All right, this right here is called Gobble Gobble Turkey Wobble. You're gonna wanna be wobbling right now. Get your wobble ready.
Put your foot out and you flap those wings. You bring your foot back and you shake that thing. Put your foot out and you flap those wings. You bring your foot back and you shake that thing. You put your arms out to the side. Right side. Put your arms out to the side. Left side. Put your arms out to the side. Right side. Flap it out. We do the gobble gobble, we do the turkey wobble. We do the gobble gobble, we do the turkey wobble. We do the gobble gobble, we do the turkey wobble. We do the gobble gobble, we do the gobble gobble, we do the turkey wobble.
All right, guys, we're here, we're doing it. We are doing the Thanksgiving draft. We're going to get into a few things before we get into our draft, which is always fun, always contentious, and I love arguing with Kevin. It's kind of our reason to get together and argue once a year. And what better way to do that than gathering around and talking about Thanksgiving?
Yeah. I'm thankful for being able to argue with you, Dill. It's one of my favorite things.
One of my favorite pastimes for sure. So let's catch some people up, Kev. What have you been up to?
Well, I've recently been laid off, so that's been pretty terrible. But, you know, life marches on. I've already had an interview, shooting my resume out there, enjoying a little bit of time off, though I'm going a bit stir crazy because it's cold and I have no money. So,
but you got so to go to the NFL Hall of Fame. I mean,
that's I did. Ben convinced me to take a pilgrimage up to the cradle of American football, as they call it, at the front of the building. It was really cool. I mean, if you know me, you know I love NFL football. So it was something that, you know, we live close enough that it felt weird that we never went. So it was cool to go. Ben actually ran into a Panthers fan. Like, I didn't run into a single Bengals fan, but Ben ran into a guy from Charlotte who was there on business and saw his Steve Smith jersey, and they had a little conversation about how Steve should be in the Hall and Julius Peppers, and it was kind of cool.
Yeah, that's really cool. I think it's kind of like us with Kings Island and all the things we live really close to, is if you live that close, you always think like, oh, I'll make time to do it sometime. But I think out-of-towners are more likely to come and visit if they pass through than we are to just drive the 3 hours it is to get up there.
Yeah, I was really struck by how small the actual building is. You know, a little, like, it looks like the orange juicer type building with the pointed dome.
Yeah.
Thing's tiny. It's like maybe two stories.
That's crazy.
Small. Like, I just, I laughed out loud when I saw it because I was like, oh, that's it, huh? Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, it was super dope, especially like the bus room, like where all the busts are, is super cool. They have, you know, all the Super Bowl rings out there, which are super sweet. Just the history of the game is really cool. The Cincinnati Reds were a football team. They lasted, I think, two seasons. They went 8-0, 8-0, and they scored collectively in two seasons, one touchdown and one field goal. That's it. Yeah. So you talk football and Thanksgiving go together, but certainly not whatever that Cincinnati Reds franchise was.
Yeah.
Dayton actually had one of the founding member cities of the NFL with the Dayton Triangles. So that was pretty cool.
What a name.
The Dayton Triangles, yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. I didn't know that.
I didn't either. So it was really cool to see the history of the game and where it came from. I was really interested in like the super early stuff. Like, again, you know, who knew Cincinnati had a team before the Bengals for a year and they were the worst team ever. So it's pretty fitting. So
yeah, that's amazing.
I mean, to only score one touchdown and kick one field goal in 2 years is astonishing. So, and then they folded very quickly after that.
Yeah, there's probably a reason we don't know a whole lot about that. They probably want it struck from the record. Like, it didn't count. We hardly even scored a touchdown.
Yeah, one of the cooler things, too, was I forget the guy's name, but the team was the Eskimos, and they drafted a guy, and they took the city off the name, and they just named it after that guy. So it was this guy's name, Eskimos. they drafted him, and they're like, well, we're just going to name the team after this guy.
No way.
Yeah, it's really cool. Hold on, I'll look it up real quick because it's really cool.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Like, they had his name on the his face on the logo. It just really fucking, just so interesting early league stuff, because like many teams folded, and I don't know, just really, really neat. Duluth Eskimos.
I mean, they weren't making anything for money. Like, a lot of those guys worked full time outside of football.
Yeah, yeah. There was very, I think the first guy signed a contract for, I think, $500. Oh, the Ernie Nevers Eskimos. That's what it was. Ernie Nevers was drafted, and they changed the name right after they drafted him. So
that's
Ernie Nevers Eskimos. Yeah. That they were pretty bad, I think.
That sounds like something you would do on Madden, like name your team like the Dylan Hayden Eskimos when you're building your own franchise.
Yep. I think he holds the record for most points scored in a game. I think there was one game where he scored like all like 42 of the points that they scored. So he was place kicking as well. So
holy shit. No wonder. Yeah. He's the only player.
Yeah.
Yeah. That kind of swiftly transitions me into fantasy football. I've never played. I've got beginner's luck, and it's crazy that I've never played before, but I am having such a blast playing my first year, and I'm 7-3? Do you remember?
I think so.
How's fantasy going for you?
I'm 6-4. I've won and lost every single week. The Bengals have won and lost, so I feel like speaking that into existence probably is going to ruin both of our seasons, but Yeah, no, it's been a lot of fun this year. I'm back to, I didn't make the playoffs last year. I'm usually in the playoffs pretty much every year. I'm only in one league because it's a hard, very, 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 very competitive league with a bunch of my friends from high school.
How much is the buy-in?
150. So spread between 12 people, that first place prize is pretty substantial.
Yeah, we have a running gag where you've come in second place, like, what, three times?
Yeah, I think three. I've won it once and come in second like three times. It sucks coming in second, but you know, you still get your buy-in plus some back for coming in second. So, that's always nice.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah,
I'm playing Benji this week too, and he's got some pretty significant buys, and I feel okay. You never feel sure about anything in fantasy football, but yeah,
I hope you do. By the time this airs, we'll know. But I'm going to just say it. You won. Good job.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
Threw up 140 and you're good.
The worst jinx you could possibly throw my way. I appreciate it. I mean, we have a running gag in our league where, you know, we just say GG like on Tuesday to whoever we're playing that week.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's, yeah. Thanks for that jinx, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. Let's talk. We'll just get this out of the way. We got merch off thebeatencleft.com. We hit our friend Aaron up to make us a metal logo, and in turn we have some t-shirts, some hoodies, some mugs. If you want to get your friend or your loved one some memorabilia for Christmas, it's right around the corner. And I don't know, I love the logo, and I love metal logos. I'm like addicted to buying band tees right now, so go buy ours. Ours is a little different, a little weird, and it's one that you have to explain. And there's nothing better than when people ask you about your shirt and you get to tell them a story.
Yeah, sure. Some people might argue that, but
I think there's nothing better.
To me, there's nothing dorkier than when you have to explain something that you're passionate about to somebody else because they don't get it. But to me, that's kind of cool. So,
yeah, I think it's fun because it's like, you know, oh, you don't know. Like, it's a big brain. It's a big brain move to have to explain your t-shirt.
Yeah.
Probably not. But yeah. Offthebeatencleft.com. We bought the domain. Go check it out. At least get you a nice mug for eggnog and whiskey.
Yeah, the mugs look awesome. I think the mug is my favorite thing on the site right now. They just come out looking so fucking dope. It's a black mug for metal. We don't have that available in any other colors because fuck you, that's why.
Yeah. We're just scraping to get by here, okay? We're doing the best we can. I'd really like to see the hoodie in a different color. Like, I love my black and white one. I wear the t-shirt and the hoodie all the time. So if you get a different colored one, hit us up on Instagram and send it to us, and we'd love to share it and see it.
Yeah, that's my family's probably all gonna get Off the Beaten Cleft merchandise.
Hell yeah.
For Christmas. Ben definitely wants some. I'm probably gonna snag a different color for myself at some point when I'm actually making money again, hopefully soon. But yeah, so that's I think some of the colors are gonna look super dope, especially like I said it before, that I think the purple is gonna look amazing.
Oh,
with
yeah,
that logo.
That's so, a good idea.
Yeah.
What have you been watching? What have you been playing?
excuse me. New Pokemon came out yesterday, so I've been playing a lot of that. Played a ton of it yesterday. It froze on me today, so I probably won't play it for a couple of days until I cool off and stop being angry about it. But yeah, it's really good. It feels like they took the best from the last three games that they made and put it all into one game, so it actually feels good. The frame rate really sucks on it, which makes it really hard to play sometimes, but I'm sure they'll fix it. But for a Pokemon game, I always have to remind myself it's made for kids. It's not made for 35-year-old adults. And so I can, as soon as I can get past that, because I love games where I have to collect shit. Like I play a lot of like card collecting games on my phone. I just like collecting shit. That's why Pokemon is always so fun to me, because I like collecting it. I like evolving Pokemon. I came into it blind, so I didn't know what any of the new Pokemon looked like. So it's been fun. Been watching a lot of anime too, catching up on some of the stuff I'd kind of let go by the wayside. I went on a huge binge early in the summer and just watched a ton. And I was like, okay, that's enough for a little bit. Let me get back to the clean world. And but now I'm back in it, especially since I don't have anything to do all day. Doing that, I watched a really interesting documentary on Netflix yesterday, or a couple days ago too. Let me see if I can find it. It was about a sculptor. What was it called? Some Polish sculptor, and it was really, really interesting. Because his shit's incredible, but he's just had so much controversy in his life that nobody knows about him now, except for people that, like, if you know, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, is it a newer documentary?
Yeah, it just, as far as I know, it just came out. Sorry, you're going to hear fucking One Piece in the background. Previews are playing. I don't know. What have you been watching while I look for it?
So, I went down the rabbit hole since, you know, we just got out of Halloween and scary movie season. I watched a lot of Haunting of Hill House, Haunting of Bly Manor. All the Nightmare on Elm Streets. I get to like the third or fourth one and then I kind of move on. And then I started watching all the Scream movies. So I had fun. I ended up buying them all because I was like, I rent these like once a year. Why don't I just buy them? And they're in standard definition too. So I kind of like the way it looks, the way it was like when you saw it in theater. So I finally broke down and purchased all the Screams. And watched all those this year. And then I rewatched MTV Scream, which is such a delight. It reminds me of why I loved season one of Riverdale and why I love MTV Scream, is that it's just corny enough and just interesting enough for you to like kind of laugh along, but also still kind of care. And I don't know if you have any guilty pleasures like that, but it's just something I do, I think, every couple years where I love rewatching stuff and seeing if I pick up on anything. You know, like I rewatched True Detective over the summer and now I'm rewatching New Girl with Zoe. We love finding new shows like Big Mouth. Big Mouth just had a new season and getting to catch up with Big Mouth is always a delight. It's such a crazy show for little teenagers to be on the show. It's almost like South Park where you're like, these are children, you know, like these are little kids and it's almost weird at times, but I love Nick Kroll and he's very funny. So besides that, I've been watching periodically some documentaries like the Killer Sally. It was okay. It's felt a little like she was trying to, I don't know, paint herself in a better light, but you know, sure, whatever. It's a documentary and there's always an angle with documentaries.
Always.
It's very rare. I feel like some of the like the tapes with like John Wayne Gacy and Ted Bundy and all those always felt like just journalistic, like telling you exactly what happened and kind of giving it to you chronologically. But if the person that they're doing the documentary on is in it, like the Tony Hawk one, it always feels like they kind of have an angle, like they're trying to like promote themselves or, you know, tell their side of the story, you know?
Yeah, of course. Like I wouldn't want to make myself look like a fucking asshole in my own documentary. It's like
Tony Hawk might be the most self-deprecating person because, you know, you already see him on the internet. Like he talks about like fading into obscurity and people coming up and saying like, oh, you look like Tony Hawk. He's like, that's great. And like, doesn't ever tell him he is Tony Hawk. He looked like Tony Hawk, but older. He's like, oh, great. Thanks.
Yeah. So, his Twitter's really funny with stories like that.
Yeah. So his documentary was very like, yeah, I was dumb and immature and fame hit kind of young and, you know.
Oh, boohoo, Tony Hawk. Fucking who cares? I don't feel one bit sorry for Tony Hawk. The documentary I was talking about is called Struggle, The Life and Lost Art of Zukowski. That's how you say it. Zukowski. Oh. Sorry. Polish names are hard to say.
You cleared that up.
Yeah. Zukowski is how you say his name. Or Zukowski. I don't know. Fuck, it's Polish. Watch it. I would highly recommend it. It's a quick watch. It's only one. It's a classic documentary where it's not like a fucking docuseries, which Netflix is obsessed with. So it's a quick like hour and a half watch. It's really interesting about a guy I didn't know, and I want his art. His art is incredible. I also watched Barack Obama's documentary recently. Not about him. It's about great national parks. It's super interesting. He narrates it. His angle is very obvious. It's about conservationism and stuff like that. But I love nature documentaries, and Obama is actually a pretty legitimate like narrator for nature docs. I'm very picky about my narrators, and he's really good. Like,
is that on usually Disney, Netflix?
But yeah, usually if it's not Sir David Attenborough, I don't watch it because you know that Britishness lends a bit of credence to whatever's being said. And he's obviously one of the most, he is the most well-known conservationist. Fuck, I had a fucking cough. I don't know what the fuck's wrong with me. But yeah, it's good.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I watch a couple documentaries. Like sometimes I just get bored of like rewatching TV shows and stuff. So I go to Disney, the Disney app, and they have a ton of Nat Geo stuff on there. And if you want to know anything about any national park or anything to do with the ocean, like there is, it's endless, man. And I think I watched one about the guys that try to hike the entire Grand Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was cool. So but yeah, I think you and I are documentary nerds.
Yeah, I love documentaries. It's just, I love learning about shit, and especially from people that are passionate about whatever they're talking about. And documentaries are usually that. I love true crime documentaries. I love nature docs. I love just weird docs that are about weird stuff like that Zukowski one. Yeah, man. They're fun. It's fun to learn about stuff that you didn't know about before.
The Disney Renaissance one might be my favorite documentary ever.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I'm sure it's good.
Yeah.
The history of Disney is super interesting. They talk about what is it, like the Big Five or whatever, like,
yeah,
the artists like nobody could fuck with and like couldn't approach.
Oh yeah. Yep.
I saw some quick video about one of the animators where he has like that patented, like he does like a head bob in a lot of his animation. He was the guy for Jungle Book and a couple other big pictures. Robin Hood. He did it because he knew he was the only person in the world that could do it in cell animation. And he did it just to like show off, and he does it all the time.
Amazing.
Because it's really hard to move a head and move lips at the same time in cell animation and make it look smooth. And he was just fucking incredible at it. So he was just out there flexing nuts on everybody.
Yeah. The late 90s, late 80s, early 90s, they really dominated. And it's a fun documentary to watch because I think it kind of transitions into Pixar and like that lull they had where everyone left for DreamWorks and all that stuff. So yeah, very cool.
Yeah. You got any other off the wall topics there? Not off the wall, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I'm ready to get into 10 conversations to have at Thanksgiving.
Yeah, so I was looking for things to talk about, like just like, I don't know, some weird article or something, just to give us some meat on these Thanksgiving bones. And I found this article from the Saturday Evening Post. Which, as I was reading the article, I was like, this is surely satire. But then I remembered, or didn't remember, I looked up that this is the publication that Norman Rockwell did all of his famous cover art for, like for years and years and years and years. So it's a legitimate publication, but they break it down into like numbered lists. So the first thing to talk about is a proper way to cook a turkey. So possible subtopics include weirdest side dishes. To me, it's the brackets that made me think this was satire. Or where do we get cranberry sauce before the can? Your favorite pie, realizing, of course, the anti-pumpkin lobby is at a disadvantage. Like, what the fuck is this article? I disagree. I don't think pumpkin pie is very good. I think it's overrated. I think anything pumpkin flavored is overrated. And there's a reason it only comes around during Thanksgiving.
Do you want me to elaborate? Or
yeah, I mean, what do you think?
I don't have a lot of thoughts about pumpkin pie. If it's there, I'll eat it. It's not going to be my first choice, but you know, I don't hate it.
I I think there's been a strong realization in the last like 10 years that pumpkin pie is not goated, that apple pie is the far better choice, and really any other pie, like sweet potato pie, like fucking sweet potato casserole, all that shit's better than fucking pumpkin pie.
How dare pumpkin you say pie that, is... How dare you say that word?
Yeah, but sweet potato casserole is good, dude.
Yeah.
I think pumpkin pie is just a vehicle for whipped cream.
It's from the big wigs at Cool Whip are like, you have to like pumpkin pie.
Yeah, they're pushing that that pumpkin pie narrative pretty hard.
Don't push your pumpkin pie agenda on us, Cool Whip. Yeah, we know what you're up to.
It's out of my pie. Yeah, this one, I don't even, I'm going to skip that one because auto maintenance is apparently whatever. Ford versus Chevy. Remember, tread lightly here. Like, what the fuck? Anyway. So sports holiday edition. One of these suggested questions is why does everybody sleep on the Indiana Pacers? Why do they do it?
That's a legit probably question.
Yeah, it's in here.
Who wrote this?
I don't know. I'll look at the artist, the author's name after this. Who's the second greatest NBA player of all time? Obviously, Bill Russell is first. It's like there's so much editorializing in these suggested topics already. It's like, what are we doing here? The third one is how escrow works. Like, just like, no, not talking about that. Not talking about fucking money things. The fifth top broad topic you can talk about is share funny animal photos and other memes, because fucking grandpapa is gonna love your fucking your rage face memes from 2010.
I don't understand the point of this article. It's like I've been collecting old Playboys, and they kind of do this too, as like cool guy topics to talk about at the at the bar with ladies. And it's like, if everyone does this, it's gonna be weird. And not only that, like, if you have to tell someone how to talk to your family at Thanksgiving, like, there's a bigger issue. Like, why did this article need to be written is my question.
Because there's a lot of people out there with crippling social anxiety, and they're the ones that read this shit.
So they write it down on what, cue cards, and are like, I gotta study these up before I go eat turkey with Gam Gam.
Yeah, I would love for somebody to bust out some fucking note cards at the Thanksgiving dinner.
Before we say grace, I just want to say, what about them Indiana Pacers?
Yeah.
I think they're slept on.
Or this classic, I think it's supposed to rain. What have you heard?
What, do we live in Seattle? It's snowing outside. It's freaking freezing. Oh my God.
There's this one. This is the one that really started make me think it was satire, because number seven is the quote unquote who would you invite to dinner gambit, and it's just a picture of fucking Mahatma Gandhi. You can't see it, it's all fucking blown out. Here's the thing: possible entertaining guests to throw in the mix: Mikey from Life Serial, first U.S. Attorney General Edmund Randolph from 1978, apparently. Alice Cooper, five-time WWE Tag Team Champions, The New Day.
Okay, I think this is a joke. I think he's messing with us.
It's not, though. It's the Saturday Evening Post. This is a legitimate publication. I think this guy was just trying to be as, like, trying to find, like, off, like, these are conversation starters. Like, oh, why would you invite fucking Mikey from Life Serial? Or who the fuck is Edmund Randolph?
Ay.
Yeah, and then the last one is Frida Kahlo, which, yeah, that's the one I would probably invite, because she would be interesting. the next one is just nostalgia. You know, stories about military service, provided that person is willing to share. Never ask a veteran about what they did in the military.
Tell us about Nam.
Yeah. How many people did you kill, Grandpa?
Yeah. What was Agent Orange like? Yeah. How'd it taste?
Yeah. Oh, man. Hopper would love that question. That's fucking insane.
Mm.
I fucking hate that shit. Here's number nine, the kids. So little kids, what do you want Santa to bring? Fine. Tween girls, why won't your parents let you have an Instagram account? For tween boys, what is Fortnite?
Does this person want Thanksgiving to go poorly?
How old is this person? Is my question. Like, they don't seem to fit into any demographic. Like, because people our age know what Fortnite is. Like, even, like, I don't know. It's, like,
I think it's got to be mid to late 40s.
It's got to be a Gen Xer. Yeah, it's got to be a Gen Xer. It's the only thing that makes sense. I mean, they're writing for the Saturday Evening Post, of course.
Obviously never married and had kids. Why won't your tween daughter have an Instagram account? Woof.
Yeah. Teen boys and girls, don't even bother.
It's pushing 50s now. It sounds like it's starting to sound boomery.
Don't even bother.
Just fucking ignore them.
That's the advice in this column. Don't even fucking bother. Fuck them kids.
Yeah, wait. Don't waste your time. Move on.
Kids 18 plus. This is a real happy question to ask around the Thanksgiving table. How have older generations ruined the world?
It does not say that.
Yes, it does. I'll send you the article. It's fucking incredible.
Oh my God.
This is just the biggest piece of drivel I've ever read in my life. Like, why would you say that at the dinner table? Hey, Grandpa, here's how you fucked up. Here's why my life sucks because of you. Thanks for cooking dinner, by the way.
Yeah. This turkey's great, but not as great as you guys ruining the housing for our generation. Whatever. This dude is an idiot. This is like, hey, how do you want to blow up Thanksgiving?
Yeah. How to ruin Thanksgiving in 10 easy steps.
How to make sure no one wants to see you for Christmas. What the hell?
Oh, man. Number 10 is, say, did you know the entire archive of the Saturday Evening Post is now available online? It's true. Happy Thanksgiving.
Way to end with a shameless plug.
I can't imagine the Saturday Evening Post is doing super well. Troy Brownfield wrote this article. I don't know. You're absolutely not going to listen to this, but you wrote a real stinker there, bud. It's that's some of the worst advice I've ever received about anything in my life. And I can't imagine anyone topping it, to be perfectly honest with you.
Troy Brownfield is a comic book writer, journalist, and college professor from Indiana. That's why the Pacers are slept on. He's 49.
Yeah, we pretty much nailed it. He's an early Gen Xer, or kind of mid-stage Gen Xer.
Jesus criminy. Okay. Well, we had our fun with our light reading today. That was awful.
The teens, don't even bother. It fucking kills me.
Oh, man. I love it.
Yeah.
Those are the people buying his comic books, too. He's probably like, those pieces of shit are always complaining about what I'm writing. Don't even talk to him.
Yeah, he's probably writing fucking... He probably writes for some offshoot of Archie Comics or something like that.
From what I briefly looked at, Blood Queen, Wonderland, Batman.
All right, so he's legitimate.
Grim Tales of Terror. But yeah, anyway. Let's get on to the main event, shall we?
We shall.
Okay. You want to rock, paper, scissors for who goes first?
I don't know how this is going to work over...
over Zoom?
Webcam here. Yeah.
You ready? Best two out of three?
Yep. I'll shoot.
All right.
See, this doesn't work. It doesn't work.
Okay.
When did you last poop?
It's been a few hours.
Me too.
Before launch.
Oh, yeah, I got your beat. I'm going first. I just pooped like 2 hours ago.
On what grounds does that mean you get to go first?
Scouts honor, dude. That's the game. Whoever pooped first gets to go first. Okay. Poop last gets to go first.
Okay. All right.
If you don't like it, tough shit.
Yeah. Tougher than yours, I guess. yeah, go ahead.
All right. All right, so are we snaking it so we get two picks in a row?
You go first, then I go twice, then you go twice.
Yeah. Okay. All right. You're going to keep track of this, so I don't have to, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, sweet. First pick. What do I pick? I'm going to go... What were you most likely to pick that I want? I'm going to go with my favorite, my number one overall favorite thing about Thanksgiving is Thanksgiving football, specifically the Detroit Lions game. I always love watching the Detroit Lions on Thanksgiving Thursdays. They're always the early game because they stink. But I have a soft spot in my heart for the Lions. I've always liked a lot of their players. I like a lot of their team right now. Love Dan Campbell. The Lions at the early game on Thanksgiving Day. That's my number one pick.
Okay. And I don't know if we need to elaborate, but this is going to be about anything related to Thanksgiving. So,
yeah,
you know, it's really open, and I think it's going to make it a little bit more fun. So I'm glad you went with something I didn't have written down.
Yeah. I don't have anything written down. I told you last night I was just going to fucking wing it.
Oh, you're such a dummy.
I'm fine. I got more than 10 things I like about Thanksgiving, I think. So we'll be all right.
Okay. My number one, deviled eggs.
Oh, fuck. I was going to pick deviled eggs.
Yeah, you should have. Yeah.
I should have.
Because I know.
Deviled eggs are the fucking best.
I think about deviled eggs like year round. And
yeah, me too.
That's one of those things like I wish I ate more deviled eggs in my life. But I think my gut is thankful that I don't.
Yeah, you'd be fucking. You wouldn't have anybody within a mile of you, dude.
We
fucking
make
deviled
them at,
egg parts are the worst.
We make them at work like more than most.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought like a vintage deviled egg tray that looks awesome. It weighs like 20 pounds, but yeah. You can put them in each spot. I love deviled eggs. It's an art form, and it takes a labor of love. They're not something that you can just whip up in 20 minutes. It's like,
no,
it's a good
I disagree.
45.
That's deviled eggs don't. That's what I love about deviled eggs. Anybody can make them and make them taste fine.
Dude, when you're cooking for a firehouse for eight, so you're making 36 eggs and you got to peel 36 eggs.
Right.
You'd be changing your tune a little bit.
Sure. I'm sorry. I'm not a big, cool, tough firefighter like you are.
I'm
Bill.
Just saying, you know, you think it's easy to whip them together, but peeling
it
36.
It is.
My fingers hurt after peeling 36 eggs.
That's fine. That's an extreme example. For most people in the world that aren't firefighters.
Or for Thanksgiving where you got big, big family coming in.
Nah, deviled eggs are still easy, man.
Yeah.
The hardest part is peeling the shell. And once you get the shell peeled, you're golden. It's super easy. You're telling me egg salad is hard to make and then to scoop it back into a fucking halved out soft boiled egg or hard boiled egg.
Whatever you say, man. It's all good. It's all good.
They're so easy to make. There's nothing to it.
There's nothing to it except peeling an egg, which just like takes concentration to not. You can't just like be a barbarian and like rip open an egg. You have to like have some touch, and that takes some time.
Do you ice shock your eggs before you peel them?
Yeah.
Well, then I don't know what your problem is, dude. It's.
I wish
eggs better.
I wish peeling eggs were as easy as you made it sound.
It's not that difficult.
Okay, my second pick.
Fucking moron.
Fuck you. All right. The mid-afternoon nap.
Yeah, that's good.
Like just, you know, eating a bunch of food and just like there's football on, you go to sleep, you wake up, there's football on, you're sitting in a recliner. And you're snoring next to like your great uncle, and you're just like, yeah, this is a life right here.
Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, I've always said one of my favorite things is baseball naps, where you fall asleep in the third inning.
Yeah.
Wake up at seventh inning strip. Good God, my body is just out of control right now. fucking burping, sneezing, coughing. I don't know what the fuck's wrong with me. A lack of deviled eggs, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, that's falling asleep and waking up to the same sporting event is always fun because it's like, oh, cool. I got to skip all the boring shit.
Mm-hmm. It's now the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it's usually the Cowboys and who gives a fuck. I that's a great pick. Two great picks there.
Thank you.
Yeah, two great picks. My next one is going to be the what's the word I'm looking for? The next day, mixing all the leftovers in a bowl and reheating that shit.
Yeah.
I don't know what you call it, but it's fucking so good. Or making like a Thanksgiving sandwich, like taking the Hawaiian sweet rolls that you have left over, slapping that shit together,
dude,
and just fucking,
yeah,
the more shit that's on there, the better too. Fucking throw all of it on there. I don't care if they go together or not. It's just a delight.
I don't like my food mixing. That's my cross to bear, but I do love some Thanksgiving leftovers on a divided plate.
That's so strange.
It's not that strange. A lot of people feel that way. Not everyone is a freaking nasty person like you and Zoe and my dad who have to watch, just like, they would rather puree it and put it in a blender and just like,
I don't know. Right now it's 3-1, Dale, so I don't know what to tell you.
Hey, I didn't ask to be this way. I just am.
Yeah, to me, I just picture you with what the fuck were those plates with the little animal faces? Like
one of my buddy's parents used to have one at their house specifically for me. So when I would come over for like family dinners and stuff, they would be like, "Oh, Dylan's plate," and it's like a little Flintstones plate. But I have no shame. I don't care. I love it.
Oh fuck, that's incredible.
I usually have to have like 3 plates. So anytime people cater to me, I love it.
I'm going to buy you like old cafeteria lunch trays for Christmas.
I would love that. I want some of those like Lion King divided plates they had, and like the Hercules. Like, I've been looking for them. So if anybody has some insight to where those could be. But yeah, dude, Thanksgiving leftovers, what a call.
Yeah, great. I had to pick it because I could miss that on deviled eggs, and I figured that was coming down the pipeline.
Yeah, I had it on my list for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And fuck, I'll leave that for later. Hopefully it doesn't get picked. Going out the night before, going out on Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. We've already talked about it a little bit. It's a time honored tradition. It's the biggest holiday, I've talked about it. It's the biggest bar night of the year. Like statistically, the most people go out that night. You would think it would be New Year's Eve, but when you think about it, everybody's back in their hometowns. The whole family's in town. What are you going to do on Wednesday? Go to the fucking bar and see all your people that you never wanted to see again from high school and have awkward conversations. And, you know, who knows? Hook up with a high school sweetheart. Who knows?
Yeah.
And you know, have you both regret it the next day because you got to go back to your families. Somebody's got to sneak out of somebody's house, mom's house that night. but yeah, no, that's always all. I've always had a lot of fun doing it. Not so much last year. Now that I'm getting older and older and more people that I know don't show up anymore, and the kids at the bars are younger and younger, like kids that were born when I was a freshman in high school are now out on Thanksgiving night, Thanksgiving Eve night. It's like, oh boy, I don't belong here. But yeah, it's a fun thing. I'll always at least drink the night before Thanksgiving. I don't really drink a whole lot anymore, but yeah, that's a good big one for me. So
yeah. Does your mom still work at that bar in town?
Mm-hmm.
The what's it called?
Tin Cap.
Yeah. That's cool. That's a cool place too.
Yeah. Hopefully this year they have another little private party that I hopefully get invited to. So
yeah,
that would be a fun time.
Yeah. That's a good call. I've done it one time, and it was when I was 21. And I don't think it really counts because, like, we went to a dance club and I didn't make it in because I was too inebriated. So, you know.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thought, it is the thought that counts. So
yeah.
You tried.
It was my friends motivating me because, you know, everyone was in town and, you know, young kid stuff. Anyway.
Go to Froggies, man. Go to Froggies on Wednesday.
I work on Wednesday.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. I always work one of those days, so what can you do? All right. My number 3. This is a big one. The first Thanksgiving after you get out of retail.
Yeah.
It's just that feeling of like, dude, you are at Thanksgiving and you're always thinking like, oh man, I got to go get the store ready, or I got to work in the morning, or I got to work tonight. There's just like that looming over your head, and that first year you don't have that. Oh man, it's a freeing feeling.
This is going to be my first one. This is my first one. I don't have to go in for Black Friday in like 12, 13 years. And I'm pretty excited for it.
Yeah.
Just to not have that burden of having to do anything. It's going to be nice for sure. Not having to rush back and get a store ready. I haven't had to fucking think about my staffing for Thanksgiving for fucking 2 months this year. And it's been amazing.
Staffing and shipment and getting the store ready. What are the promotions going to be? Where kind of, oh man, all that stuff was just like, it was fun. But when you don't have to do it anymore, it was like, just a big breath.
Yeah, I left on a good one too. Like last year, we were still in COVID restrictions. So we had a max of like 40 people in the store. And then basically an hour after we opened, we had a huge register outage for like 2 hours, and it was company wide. So it was just a shit show.
Oh, God.
And we were like, everybody in line, we put their stuff on hold. And then once the registers were back up, we called them back, and it was just a massive shit show. But it ran smoothly because I had a good plan. But man, oh man, those first 3 hours of Black Friday were rough.
Yeah, that's a good one to be like, all right, it's time to get out.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually enjoy the day. I always enjoyed working Black Friday, but I'm glad to not have to do it anymore.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes, not sometimes, I feel like all the time, this time of year is very stressful for retail workers. And I know there's plenty of Facebook posts where people are like, take care of your retail workers. It's true, though. Like, it is very stressful, and like, you are simultaneously helping people shop for Christmas while you're in the back of your mind, you're like, I haven't done any Christmas shopping. And people are very rude, and you know, it's a whole thing that when you don't have to deal with it anymore, you feel very grateful.
Yeah, I think during the holidays last year, a lady came up to me. I did my classic greeting, and she's like, she looked at me right in the eyes and said, "How are you doing?" And I was like, "You know what? Thank you for asking. Nobody's asked me that in 12 years during the holidays." And we had a good little conversation, and it was awesome. It really made my day. So that what Dylan just said is true. Like, take care. Like, just don't be an asshole. Just, you know, treat, they're human beings. Just because they're working doesn't mean you're better than them.
Right.
You know, take time to appreciate the fact that they're giving up their personal time so you could be there doing what you need to do. It really does make all the difference just to treat people like human beings during the holidays. And so that goes for the restaurant industry as well. So
there's so many people that you don't have to say that to, but there's the slight few can ruin an entire day.
Yeah. And I mean, like I said, both of us having worked retail for a long time during the holidays, like, it really does make a difference when somebody just says something nice to you or is just, you know, nice. It makes your day. It honestly really does. It makes a huge, I know that sounds cliche, but take it from two people that did it for a very long time. Like, it really does. It makes your week, honestly. There's, like I said, I'll probably remember that lady forever because she just was nice to me for a half second. And it really did. It made my holiday week that week much, much nicer. So it makes a huge difference.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I love that.
Let me step down off that soapbox.
My fourth pick. You ready for it?
Mm-hmm.
Stuffing. What a dummy. I can't believe you left that for me.
I'm not a huge stuffing guy. Not a huge stuffing guy.
I would just eat stuffing and deviled eggs, and I think that's it.
Yeah, I've never been a big stuffing guy. Mm-hmm. In recent years, I've been more attracted to it, if that's the right word. But yeah, never been a big stuffing guy. So you can have that one all day, bud.
All right, then I will. I'm going to drive up to Wilmington and be like, I'm going to take this because Kevin said he didn't want it.
I don't think my mom makes stuffing anymore because Ben's not a big stuffing guy either.
What in the world?
I didn't like, because growing up, I didn't like the celery and like all the like huge chunks of vegetables and shit in it. So I like the concept of stuffing, and I like it now as an adult, but as a kid, I was like, I'll pass.
I never even knew what it was. Because I was always just like, which one's stuff? Nothing was ever labeled. And we just had like buffet style. So I would put it on my plate.
Yeah.
Because as a kid, bread. Like, you know, your parents make it for the kids. So my mom made me a plate, and that's she would always put that and deviled eggs on.
Yeah, so that's a hell of a plate.
Did I ever make my own choices? No. And I just grew up continuing that theme.
Yeah. Good for you, man.
Yeah.
So what is this? My fourth and fifth pick?
Yep.
Okay. So my fourth pick will be cranberry sauce, specifically out of a can. Love cranberry sauce out of a can. I know it's fallen out of favor recently, but I love that shit. It's to me, it was like a little dessert during dinner for Thanksgiving. And I'm not a huge fan of Thanksgiving food in general, like traditional Thanksgiving food. Like stuffing was never my thing. Turkey sucks. You know, so like a creamy casserole can get fucked. like all that, it's just like what I call like old white lady food, and it's not my favorite. So like doing different stuff, like cranberry sauce was always like the highlight of my Thanksgiving dinner. I don't know how you feel about cranberry sauce.
I've never had it. I've had like cranberry flavored like 7-Up. When I worked at 7-Up, they pushed it really hard, so I tried it and I was like, it's pretty good. But I've never had like actual cranberry sauce.
Interesting. Yeah, give it a try. Get some cranberry sauce in a can, slop it on a plate.
What do you put it with?
Whatever you want. It actually goes really well with turkey. Like if you put it on top of turkey, it goes well with pretty much everything on a Thanksgiving plate. It's not like overpoweringly sweet or sour. It's just kind of a good mix of the two, and it looks gross, but it tastes delicious. So,
yeah, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, it makes your meat sweet. So.
What a tagline. Makes your meat sweet.
And my fifth pick. Fucking mashed potatoes, man.
Mashed potatoes and gravy.
Okay. Mashed potatoes and gravy. Like we've hit all of the things I like about. I was going to go not turkey for my fifth pick because turkey fucking sucks and it's overrated.
Yeah.
Turkey sucks.
We always have ham at my family stuff, so I'm always pumped for ham.
Ham is so much better. Again, I'm not a huge ham fan, but it's so much better than turkey. Turkey blows. It's dry. It's bland. I've heard deep fried turkey is good. I doubt it. turkey belongs on a sandwich with a ton of mayonnaise, ham, cheese, and pepper. That's the only way I like turkey.
Dude, and then, throw on then some horseradish mustard. You ever had that?
Yeah.
Oh, no. God.
Yeah, it's no, so I'm sure good. It's delicious. I love a good cold cut sandwich, but yeah, turkey by itself is not good. So I'm going to go with mashed taters with brown gravy, like specifically like homemade smashed potatoes. Like that shit. I mean, if you're a Idaho Spuds or whatever, those are good too. But I really like the homemade smashed potatoes with piping hot gravy and melting, making the little volcano cavern in it and putting the butter in there, pouring the gravy over the top and then mixing it all together, slopping it all together on the plate. That shit's fucking amazing. And it's the best leftover food too. Like mashed potatoes might be a top five. It actually is a top five food for me. So just in general.
Yeah.
Mashed potatoes are fucking amazing. I can eat them any time of the year, any day of the week, any time of the day. They're fucking amazing. So they got to make the list.
Greens, beans, potatoes.
Tomatoes.
Yeah. Good call. I didn't even think of that. I tried to, after I did a couple of food ones, I was like, I need to diversify a little bit. It can't just all be food. But that's pretty much all you do all day is eat.
Eat and sleep and watch football.
So I'm going to go with one, and I have a couple honorable mentions. The weirdly specific dishes to Thanksgiving while trying to avoid the word casserole. So a green bean dish, sweet potato dish, mac and cheese dish. There's so many that just like someone is an expert on making one of them, and they're always good. Like I made a sweet potato dish for Thanksgiving last year at work, and it was awesome. And it's only awesome because Zoe's really good at making it.
Yeah, it's fucking. I love sweet potato casserole. I'm gonna call it a casserole because that's
fuck
what it is.
You. If you're new to the show, I hate the word casserole. I think it's a lazy and disgusting word.
But that's what it is. It's casserole.
It's a dish.
It's a casserole.
It's
in a dish.
I'm gonna call it a lasagna. Sweet potato lasagna, and a mac and cheese lasagna.
Mac and cheese is just mac and cheese.
There's the like being able to put the like cheese crust on top, and you like as soon as you put your spoon in there, it like opens up a little bit. Oh man.
Oh, yeah. I'm mac and cheese is not a casserole. Mac and cheese is just mac and cheese.
You can make it a casserole with like some potatoes in there too.
Nah.
I don't know, man.
Don't fuck with mac and cheese. Macaroni and cheese. That's all you need.
Whatever.
I how do you feel about breadcrumbs on top of your macaroni? I know that's a contentious point with a lot of people.
Do it. Do whatever you want with mac and cheese, man. I'm always in for it. Like buffalo chicken mac and cheese. You want to put barbecue sauce on my mac and cheese? I don't care. Like, I don't like my food touching, but with mac and cheese, it just feels like anything besides ketchup is okay.
Yeah, I know in the South, like, breadcrumbs are taboo on top of mac and cheese, which is fine. I like both. I like the, like, buttery crispiness of, like, the breadcrumbs on top, but I also just like great Southern mac and cheese, too. So
there's something me and Zoe like to do where we put tuna and peas inside of our mac and cheese. And tuna mac. Oh, dude, it's so good.
Nah, gross.
Put a little sriracha in there. Whew. Yeah, it's good.
You nasty.
No, it's good as hell.
Nah, tuna melts are gross, and by extension, tuna mac and cheese must be gross.
See, we're going to fight. I'm going to drive out to Westchester and fight you.
Come on with it then, man.
I'm going to get the dogs in the car, and they're going to be my backup.
Kirby will take my side. I'll make them shit all over you.
Well, that wasn't as contentious as I thought. I think we have two completely different lists, I think.
Yeah, outside of deviled eggs, like, we didn't really overlap a whole lot.
Thanksgiving leftovers is a big one that I really wanted. It reminds me of that TikTok where the guy's interviewing. He's like, what's the kinkiest thing you've ever done? And he's like, I was hanging out with this girl 2 days after Thanksgiving, and I was eating leftovers. And you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. That's one of my favorite videos of all time.
I don't know if the listening public does, but I certainly do.
Yeah. Well, when you come across it, you'll love it because it comes around this time of year. Do you have any honorable mentions?
Read yours off, and I'm sure I'll think of some. Like I said, I didn't take any notes for this. I'm just going off the old dome here.
This isn't something I've necessarily experienced, but waking up hungover knowing your whole day is going to be revolving around food, football, and naps. That's a great feeling.
A horrible feeling, but yeah.
But there's nothing worse than waking up hungover and being like, oh my God, I got to run a 5K today.
Yeah.
One is thanking the good Lord I was not born into a 5K family.
Yeah, fuck that, dude. People who run turkey runs are fucking stupid. Like, just enjoy the day. It's literally the fattest holiday you could possibly. It's just, oh God, I hate it. Just enjoy the holiday for what it is. Just fucking eat a ton of food, gain 10 pounds, and regret it for the next week. Then you can run your 5K. Don't do it on fucking Thanksgiving and drag the rest of your family into it.
I do like to lift before, if I woke up at a decent time and it's like, we're not eating till 2 o'clock. Okay, I guess I'll go work an appetite.
That's fine, but that's something you do every day. Like, mm-hmm. That's just part of your daily routine. That's fine. People specifically go on turkey runs, and it's the most annoying shit in the world. Just fucking sit on your couch and be a fat piece of shit like the rest of America.
You little pick-me people trying to run on holidays and wear your gobble t-shirt to Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's just, I hate it so much. It's just, I don't know. I hate fitness obsessed people. Like not like you. Like you might say you're fitness obsessed. I don't think you are. I think you just like working out. There's a big difference between someone like you who likes to just work out and be in good shape versus somebody who it's their entire personality. And those people are the worst. Just at the absolute worst. Like, fucking live a little.
They're the finance bros with different outfits on.
Yeah, I mean, anybody that takes any single thing in their personality and takes it to an extreme are the worst people in the world. I firmly believe that. Just fucking be a little bit more well-rounded and more people will like you. Don't get out of your little echo chamber a little bit and people maybe not won't think you're an asshole.
Yep.
That goes for furries. That goes for people who, and just any extreme, like, don't make it your whole, enjoy it. Great. Do it. Be really passionate about it, but don't make it your whole personality. Like, I'm super passionate about music and video games and anime, but like, I don't fucking push it on people, and it's not my only personality trait.
Or defend Taylor Swift because because of ticket prices. That's the funniest thing I think about the internet right now is people defending someone they don't even know.
Yeah, it's dumb. Well, that's just the internet. It's people getting offended for something that, that has zero effect on them.
Yeah.
Like, just fucking shut up.
Mm-hmm. My last one, dark beer.
Yeah.
Amber lager, stout, porter, any kind of like cinnamon or porter or chocolate or peanut butter. Like, dude, dark beer. It's generally this time of year, but especially Thanksgiving, I think that's a good time to crack a weird Whipped Wing beer or a Rheingeist or one of your local craft breweries that comes out with something crazy and has five synonyms to describe the beer. That's my, This is our time of year to shine.
Yeah. Great Lakes Christmas Ale.
Boom. Yep.
It is a perfect example of that. Give me a smoked porter all day. Like, I'll drink that shit in the summer because I don't give a shit. That's the kind of beer I like. But porters and stouts just hit different in the winter. They're made for winter.
Mm-hmm.
A vanilla porter. Porters are the best. A porter is the best beer because it's so flavorful and they're usually very strong and you can put any kind of flavor you want in it, specifically like sweet flavors, but you can do savory too. It's just, I don't know. Porters are the king of beers in my opinion.
For sure. Yeah. Now I want a porter.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I want a smoked porter real bad.
That reminds me of the thing from Legally Blonde. She's like, I want a hot dog real bad. I want a smoked porter real bad.
Yeah. As far as honorable mentions for me, like, I think we kind of hit everything. Like, it's a very simple holiday.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's why it's my favorite. I've always said Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday just because it's my three favorite things. It's eating, sleeping, football. It's custom built for a big fat Midwestern boy like me. So I couldn't ask for a better holiday.
Yeah. And you also, like, it's the first time you meet up with family. The only thing you're doing is eating food, watching TV. It's not handing out gifts or like, did I get enough? Did I spend too much on the white elephant gift? Like, all that. There's just so much pressure with Christmas that, like, I feel like Thanksgiving is a pure holiday. And then you're like, oh, I'll see you guys in a month at Christmas, you know, and we'll do this all again. But it is like the first time you see people that year, you know, a calendar year a lot of times.
Yeah, you're right. I think it's the most pure holiday because you're right. Christmas comes with all these stipulations and Thanksgiving, it's like, bring a dish and we'll just fucking sit around and talk and drink beer and watch football. And there's no pressure to it. Like I said, it's perfect for me. I love Thanksgiving so much, man. Even if the food isn't my favorite, you can eat whatever the fuck you want. You know, you don't have to eat turkey.
Yeah.
You don't have to eat, you know, fucking green bean dish. I won't say the word anymore for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
even though those fucking crispy onions are great.
I want a green bean dish so bad.
I don't hate them. I used to hate them when I was young, but again, fucking green beans suck. I used to get so mad at my mom because, like, we would have green beans basically every night with dinner, and she would always mix in her green beans with whatever she was eating, and I'd be like, you're not making the green beans better. You're just making the other stuff worse, and it would always piss me off. It's like, because I would always slop my green beans on, fucking shovel that shit in, and then just eat the good stuff because green beans, they're not bad, but they're not good either. Like,
and then the little juice runs and touches your other food and ruins it.
I do hate fucking green bean juice on my food. It's fucking gross. Especially if you're eating like chicken parmesan. You don't want fucking green bean juice running in with your marinara.
Yeah.
Like, get the fuck out of here. spaghetti was the worst. Like, getting green bean juice in your spaghetti, fuck off. Like, it took me a very long time to just get a bowl for my green beans because it was like, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of green beans touching my other food.
Yes. Yes. Let it consume you.
It's just green beans. Just green beans. Green beans suck, dude. Like, you can put bacon in them. It doesn't make it any better. Bacon's overrated in my opinion. Just in general, as a breakfast meat, it's overrated. Sausage is better. On top of burgers, you can't really taste it. It's just salty. It adds a crunch.
BLTs, standalone, though?
I don't like BLT. I don't like tomatoes, so I don't eat BLTs. I don't like tomatoes. It's a very common thing to not like tomatoes. Bacon's overrated. It's overrated.
I'm not gonna wear a t-shirt that says like, "Don't touch my bacon," but like, I'll eat bacon if it's there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I don't not eat bacon. I really do. One of my favorite things in the world, though, is making bacon and then smashing it between two smushy pieces of white bread, just making a bacon sandwich. Nothing else on it. You can put butter on it if you want. But for me, just fucking two pieces of white, like mushy white bread, just smashing some bacon in between them. Good to go.
Jesus. That's ghetto.
It's good. Yeah, it is, but it's fucking good.
Turkey bacon? Zoe loves turkey bacon.
Fuck turkey bacon.
It doesn't shrivel up. I like it.
No, it's terrible.
Whatever.
It's terrible. I've already told you why I hate turkey, and I think bacon is overrated. So why would I like turkey bacon?
It's just a little different. It's something a little different.
Yeah, it's a little bad.
You just wanted to fight today. That's the whole reason we did this.
When you come with bad opinions, I'm going to tell you about it.
That's just my opinion. It's like the fifth week in a row I've said that. All right. That was it. That was our after hours, our whatever you want to call it, our Thanksgiving draft. We're really just excited for Thanksgiving, and we wanted to send you guys on our little holiday with something fun and a little bit loose. So go check us out on the internet.
Yep.
All right.
Happy Thanksgiving. Gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble. We'll see you guys on Monday.
Bye.